Matthew chapter number 2. For sake of time, I'm not going to read very much scripture. Let's give us a thought to ponder today on Christmas Day 2016. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these words, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Let's pray together. Our Father, in these next few moments, might your word become real to us. We need more than festivities and traditions to serve you. We need truth, faith. We need substance. The light's coming down in a few days. The trees are going to the street in a few days. We're headed back to work. School's back in session. But Jesus is alive. Help us to see that, hear that, know that, live that, and show the world what Christmas is all about. As your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. And if somebody in the building doesn't know Jesus for the full pardon of his sin, may today that person leave different than how he came. We promise to give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. My intention is to be brief this morning, afternoon, today. I want you to think about something. You know, I don't know about you, but when Christmas time comes around, and for a lot of people, one of the joys during the holiday season is watching some of those traditional Christmas movies. How many of you have already watched some Christmas movies at home this season? A Christmas Carol, It's So Wonderful Life, all of those Christmas movies. Some of you young people, Home Alone, all right? And you ladies, all those beautiful Hallmark movies that are just different actors with the same plot, all right? And bad actors, for that matter. But nonetheless, a lot of people like to watch these movies. They are sitting around Christmas time, sitting around the Christmas story, sitting around festivities. There are movies we've seen before, characters we're familiar with, plots we could finish before they even finish them. Yet every Christmas we gather around the television and watch these movies again and again. They're Christmas traditions. One of those stories that comes to my mind is the story about the Grinch. Everybody remembers that fictitious character of Dr. Seuss the Grinch, who became unexplainably perturbed and irritated about the thought of Christmas and everything that surrounded it. And he made his mind up he was going to shut it down. Shut down the music, shut down the shopping, shut down the eating, shut down the fun, because Christmas just annoyed him. He found out later that although he could shut down everything that he thought represented Christmas, Christmas went on because it was more than what he thought it was. He did everything he could to be the Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. We open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. I want to preach about a Grinch today. I want you to know, before Dr. Seuss ever wrote about a Grinch that tried to steal Christmas, The man Matthew in the Bible wrote about a Grinch that tried to kill Christmas. And today I want to talk about a different Grinch than the one in Dr. Seuss. This is a character that really lived. This is a character that exuded these Grinch-like characteristics. And he didn't just try to steal Christmas, he tried to kill Christmas. That Grinch in our text today is King Herod. King Herod found himself with a difficult, kind of perverse, irritated spirit about him when others during that day were excited. Wise men were following the star looking for Jesus. Shepherds were leaving their flocks running to Jesus. Folks were gathered around in a fanfare. The angels were in the sky shouting the good news about a Savior that was born. And yet there was a king by the name of Herod in the midst of those that were excited who was upset. He was the Grinch that tried to kill Christmas. Can I say to you that those Grinches still live today? Those Grinches are in our society. Those Grinches are in some of our families. Those Grinches are in our schools. Some of those Grinches are in our government. Some of those Grinches sit on our court system. Some of those Grinches are heads of departments and stores and CEOs. They're trying to do everything they can to kill Christmas. I'd like to say to you today, I'm glad that we're in the house of God on December 25 on 2016 in the midst of a society postmodern. Modern society full of the debauchery and the depravity of sin that's trying to kill Christmas, but we that are saved understand that it's a whole lot more than music and trees and lights and gifts. Christmas is about Christ. Amen. The Grinch that tried to kill Christmas. Very quickly, let me tell you why this Grinch was a Grinch, and let me tell you why Grinches are Grinches today. Number one, self-centered attitudes. Self-centered attitudes. The Bible says that when Jesus was born, listen, this is good news, not bad news. Somebody say amen. Jesus was born. It should have been going around town, extra, read all about it. They should have been in the middle of the street celebrating. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but the Bible said Herod the king was troubled. I want you to notice the troubled spirit of Herod. Herod thought, what do you mean? Jesus, the king is born. I'm the king. He had a self-centered attitude. He wanted to kill Christmas because he wanted Christmas to be about him. People that want to kill Christmas today is because they want Christmas to be about them. They want Christmas to be about what they get. They want Christmas to be about who recognizes them. They want Christmas to be about who remembers them. They want Christmas to be about who lets them off, who lets them stay out of school, who picks up things for them, who feeds them, who takes care of them. That was Herod's problem. He thought Christmas was about him. He had a troubled spirit, if you would. He had a tyrannical search. In other words, he's out of control. He's doing everything he could to find Jesus. Now, so were the wise men. And so were the shepherds. But they were looking for him for a different reason. They were looking for him to worship him. Herod was looking for him to kill him. Can I tell you, we got people today that are doing everything they can to find Jesus. And they're not looking for him to praise him. They're not looking for him to worship him. They're not looking for him to serve him. They're looking for him to kill him. You better keep your heads up, Christian, because we're living in a society. I was typing in my phone, texting a bunch of people, and it's amazing that the attempt to kill Christmas has even gone into our auto type of our phone. You type Mary and the phone says Xmas. The phone has learned how to take Christ out of Christmas without you even typing it. What a shame. What a shame. There was a self-centered attitude. Secondly, there was a sneaky agenda. He gathers those wise men together and says, now y'all going to find him? When you find him, let me know where he is. Because I'd like to come worship him too. Liar, pants on fire. Herod had no intent to worship him. Herod was hiding behind, if you would, the guise of false pretense. He acted like his religion was the same as a relationship. He acted like he had motives to do right when he truly had motives to do wrong. Can I tell you that everybody says they want to worship Jesus is not necessarily telling the truth? Not every church with a steeple on it is really a church of the living God. Not every man that has reverend in front of his name is truly lifting up the mighty name of Jesus. Can I tell you, there's a man today in this passage that is telling the wise men, I want to worship Jesus. He was talking the right talk. He was sounding the right way, but he had no desire to worship God. Listen to me, church of the living God. We need to have a revival among the people of God of genuineness and sincerity and true worship of God. If you say you love God, love him. If you say you want to worship God, worship him. If you say you praise God, praise him. Enough of this phony pretense, showy stuff. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. False pretense. Foolish plan. As soon as he found him, he was going to kill him. Number three. Self-centered attitude. A sneaky agenda. A shameful act. He went to all actions possible to kill Christmas. What do you mean? He had an uncontrollable rage. Notice what the Bible says later on in this passage of Scripture. Verse 16. After he saw he was mocked. Watch this now. Look here. After he found out that people weren't going to help him kill Jesus, he lost control. Notice what the Bible says. He was exceeding wroth. Exceeding wrath. He was mad because he wanted to kill Jesus and the wise men wouldn't help him. And by the way, the wisest thing you can do in the 21st century is make sure you don't help people kill the name of Jesus. Amen. Wise people don't listen to the world when it comes to stomping out the name of Jesus. That's why when people say happy holidays, I say Merry Christmas. And then it's almost like they're like, oh, really? A Merry Christmas to you too. I'm not trying to lump in. When we have other holidays, we don't beat around the bush to say those things. If you can say St. Patrick's Day, why can't you say Christmas? Amen. If you can say Washington's birthday, why can't you say Jesus' birthday? If you can celebrate MLK's birthday, why can't you celebrate JESUS birthday? Hey, the wisest thing to do is on your job, in your neighborhood, among your family, let them know you won't silence the name of Jesus. Uncontrollable rage and an unthinkable response. To kill one baby, he killed all of them. Now here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you don't know who Jesus is and why you should be worshiping him, you'll go to any length to kill him. And you'll kill a whole lot of other people trying to kill him. You know what I found out about people who are mad with God? They also mad with everybody else. You know what I found out with people who aren't right with God? They have a hard time staying right with anybody else. See, let me tell you something. When you're trying to knock Jesus down, which you won't do, you'll knock everybody else down trying to knock him down. Here's heresy. Kill all the babies. Everybody 2 years old and other. Kill all of them. He didn't have a problem with all those babies, but he wanted to make sure he didn't miss the one baby he was trying to kill. So he killed all of them. That's an unthinkable response. And listen to me, beloved. Not knowing who Jesus is will carry you to lengths that were unthinkable. Now I'm closing with the fourth point. Me saying I'm closing made you say, hmm? You don't have to act like you're surprised. I said I'm closing. The churchman said, hmm. What's wrong with Pastor? By the way, the Cowboys aren't on today, so you can't say that's my motivation. His self-centered attitude, he wanted it to be about him. His sneaky agenda, he tried to hide to get it done. His shameful act, he went to any length to try to accomplish his task. Here's my favorite part of the story. His stopped attempt. Did you hear what I told you he was? He was a Grinch trying to kill Christmas, but he failed. I say he was a Grinch trying to kill Christmas. But he failed. Here's how he failed. First of all, the express purpose of God. God told the wise men, don't you go back by Herod. You go back a different way. Hey, isn't it amazing that even in a society that's trying to kill Christmas, that the voice of God will talk to the people of God and let them know when they're trying to shut me down, I'll show you a way around them to make sure he is still lifted up. The express purpose of God. Another thing I like about this story, the eventual parish of Herod. Here's the amazing thing about the Bible. The Bible said that Joseph and Mary were with Egypt, were with Jesus in Egypt. And there's a great phrase in verse 19. But when Herod was dead. Somebody say amen. Amen. I say, but when Herod was dead. You say you celebrating somebody's death. Anybody trying to kill Jesus need to go somewhere. Amen. Amen. The express purpose of God was that he let them know not to go back. Hey, God can keep you from running into the devil. Amen. If you walk right, if you walk with God. But the eventual perish of Herod is this. Isn't this the irony of the story? He tried to kill Jesus, but he's the one ended up dead. The endless practice of Christmas. He tried to kill the first Christmas, but here we are thousands of Christmases later and we're still celebrating Christmas. I'll tell you why there was an express purpose. God wasn't going to let those wise men get set up by Herod. I'll tell you why there was an eventual perish. Herod was a human being and no human being will supersede God's son. I'll tell you why there's an endless practice. We're still celebrating Christmas because Christmas without Christ is a mess. And I'll tell you why there's an endless practice, because Christmas is about an everlasting person. You see, there's a reason why Herod couldn't kill Jesus, because Jesus was the living Son of God. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And although that Grinch tried everything he could to kill the lovely Son of God, there was no way he was going to kill Jesus, because Jesus had come to earth for a purpose. That baby that was born in a manger was going to grow up, and 33.5 years later, that baby, now a man, was going to hang and bleed and suffer for the sins of mankind. And there was no way that Grinch was going to kill Christmas, because Christmas was going to die willingly on an old rugged tree to redeem man. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you about another Grinch by the name of the devil. He's been way back when, up in heaven when he was an angel, he tried to steal the name of God by being like God. God kicked him out. He came down to earth and tried to get mankind plummeted into sin by tempting them and convincing them to fall and disobey God. He tried to do everything he could to stop the birth of Jesus, to mess up the bloodline of Christ. He tried to mess it up with harlotry. He tried to mess it up with failed kings. He tried to mess it up with lying prophets. And then at Jesus' birth, he was the one that got a hold of Herod, that got Jesus to try to kill him along Jesus' way. He tried to tempt Jesus and get him to sin, disqualifying himself from being the Redeemer on the cross. It was the devil that got inside of Judas and got him to betray Jesus. It was the devil that convinced Pilate not to do what he knew he should not do. It was the devil that convinced those Jews to crucify their only Savior and release that murderer, Barabbas. It was the devil that had that thief on the cross mocking him and those Roman soldiers belittling him. It was the devil that celebrated when they put nails in his feet, nails in his hands, and a crown of thorns on his head. It was the devil that was happy partying when Jesus gave up the ghost. They put him in a borrowed tomb. It was the devil that celebrated for 3 long days while it seemed as if God's plan had been thwarted and Christmas had been killed. It was the devil that had Roman soldiers in front of a grave and a large stone in front of the grave. It was the devil that was trying to enact corruption in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to defy the Old Testament scripture. But I want to let you know, that 3 days after he'd been in that grave, he rose again with resurrection power. Up from the grave he arose. For 40 days he walked on planet earth, ascended into heaven, and now he lives ever to make intercession for you and for me. And like she just sang a few moments ago, that devil thinks that right now he can wipe out Christmas by distracting Christians and by deceiving sinners into believing there's another way to heaven outside of Lord Jesus Christ. He uses Islam. He uses Catholicism. He uses emotionalism. He uses Satanism. He uses any kind of thing that man can use by way of materialism and believing in himself to try to kill Christmas. But one thing he's yet to seem to figure out, you can't kill Christmas because you can't kill Christ. And I say to that old lying Grinch that's still trying to kill Christmas, that I'm glad today that we don't serve a fairy tale figure. We don't serve a one day a month figure. I'm glad we don't serve a one time a year figure. I'm glad we don't serve fat Santa Claus, dead Muhammad, the Pope or the priest or some other religion. I'm glad that the Grinch tried to kill Christmas, but he couldn't kill Christmas because my Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. At Christmas is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of Glory, glory, the Lion of Judah, the way, the truth, the resurrection and the life, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the Lamb of glory, the Lion of Judah, the Star of Bethlehem, the Rose of Sharon. Oh, my friend, he's Adonai and El Shaddai. That Jesus is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, immutable. He can't change, eternal. He was, he is, and he is to come. That Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, Jehovah our shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's present, Jehovah Shekinah, the Lord who is our righteousness. All that Christmas that he's trying to kill is the rock of our salvation, our only firm foundation, a faithful friend who will not change. He's the cornerstone who remains the same. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God, and he's God the Son. That Jesus that he tried to kill is our salvation, sanctification, rectification, reconciliation, propitiation, and glorification. That Christmas he tried to kill is Christ, the King of knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the door of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the highway of holiness, the roadway of righteousness, the gateway of glory, the master of the mighty, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators, the overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. Oh, other Grinches, like the Pharisees, tried to stop him. Pilate tried to find a fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave could not hold him. There's been nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. He didn't have a predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach Jesus, and he ain't going to resign. He's King of kings, and he's Lord of lords. I want to tell you, the Grinch can try to steal Christmas. The Grinch can try to kill Christmas. The Grinch can try to silence Christmas. But I'd like to say to that devil, you won't stop Jesus. You won't silence Jesus. You won't squander Jesus. You won't slay Jesus, because Jesus is alive. He rules and reigns. And as long as there's Christ, there's Christmas. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Don't you let him try to get you to steal Christmas for yourself. My Jesus is alive. Them Grinches been here since Jesus was born, and they've been here since Lucifer fell. And they'll be here until Jesus comes back. But I'm thankful there's coming one day in the new heaven and the new earth where every last Grinch will be thrown into the lake of fire, and we're going to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ every single day for all of eternity, and every day will be Christmas because Jesus is the Christ of Christmas. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you for stopping the Grinch. Now, all over this world today, there are Grinches trying to steal and trying to kill Christmas. Where are the believers that will stand guard and say, since Jesus can't be killed, we're not going to let the devil succeed in silencing us? How many of you say today, Pastor, I know I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. God bless you. Put your hands down. How many Christians would say, Pastor, I want Christmas not to be a one-day affair, but I want it to be a reminder of the Christ that I serve every day. And I don't want to be a weak child of God that helps the devil do what he'll never accomplish. God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the room. This is Christmas. We need to start speaking up for Christ. Thank goodness for shopping and buying gifts. We ought to celebrate, but shame on us if we go across the world to give a gift to somebody and won't do anything for the one whose birthday we're celebrating. One more question. Let me say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I thought I understood Christmas. I mean, it's a festive time. I enjoy it. I believe in Jesus. But I can't honestly say that I'm 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I do not want to go to hell. Listen to the question. What better Christmas gift could you receive today than the assurance of knowing you're going to heaven? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I am sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I won't embarrass you or call your name out. We would never do that here. All I want to do is pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless a couple children. Anyone? Just be honest. Just be honest. I'm not sure. Thank you, young lady. God bless you. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I do not want to go to hell. I'm sure about that. Anybody else would just be honest enough to raise your hand. Just raise your hand long enough for me to see it up on the balcony, some of our children, and we'd be glad to deal with them. Yes. God bless you too, young man. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this invitation? Help us, Lord. Help us not to miss the meaning of Christmas. Can't kill Christmas because you can't kill Christ. Shame on us for biting our tongue. Help us, Lord, to stand guard over the name of Christ and honor Him. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.